Our conversation with the head coach brought to you by Star Markets Just For You digital app earn rewards. Save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. Obviously, you can tell, you know, I've been affected a little bit by the illness that's going around. I saw your TV thing with Scal just now, and it just seemed like you were – I couldn't tell if you were now being touched by the illness or if Scal just invokes those kind of questions. He's become one of those interviewers that just draws
Tom Rinaldi.
Right. It's like, hey, you had a dog when you were a kid, and he was run over by a truck. How did that make you feel? Like that, I couldn't tell if it was one or the other.
No,
that situation.
I was trying to get through the interview. I should have put more effort into it. Should have thought about more and you know, shortened my answer. And then I wouldn't have had, you know, a little issue with my throat. But whatever, we're good. We got through it. We retaped it. How about the opportunity to retape? I wish we had an opportunity to do that in the middle of a game. Hey, that 13-0 run, let's go back and redo that.
There's the new coaches challenge.
New coaches
do one segment over again.
Get the whole segment.
Rewind it.
Hey, all those Zach LaVine dunks. We didn't challenge any of them. Can we do those again?
Well, the passive aggressive Brad is my favorite Brad.
So here's my question for you because I've been thinking about this for the last 48 hours.
This is going to be good.
Do you guys have an ability to measure how many listeners we had during the Patriots game the other night? Because it couldn't have been in the 20s.
The only way I have is just to have Max swear and see if anybody notices.
So did he?
No. And the thing is you didn't know. So, therefore, I don't really have an answer to that other than it's conceivable that I committed a few FCC violations by doing play-by-play of the Patriots game at the same time.
Oh, you did it again?
You know what? It's like moth to a flame. Like, how are you going to get me not
to? Did you have the Patriots game on right next to you?
I have no comment on that because one of the coaches in the game Saturday blasted us when he was looking for a replay for watching the Patriots instead of.
Oh, yeah. You guys were fawning over Jason Tatum's step back as I was trying to figure out if there was a reason to challenge something.
Yeah, I love it as if we control which replays are going to be shown on the telecast, like what people want to see.
I mean, I think Scal can go quickly and say, hey, can we show that replay, can't we?
It's something like that. I mean, he's too busy working up emotional tears to get you.
I know this. You can redo things. I've just lived that. This is great.
This is good stuff. And you've already managed to kill 3 minutes of this. Second straight
night. My whole
goal
is to get all the way through one without talking about the game at all.
You haven't figured out that I'll just keep going until I get at least one in. Like, we'll be here all night. The game will be going on to hear the national anthem playing.
There you go.
Just be going.
Let's go.
Second straight game. The bench sort of gave you that lift, almost like a bridge to get you through one of those kind of shaky starts to where everything calmed down. It was almost the same group of guys on the floor Saturday that you had Friday.
So we're really going to talk about our bench tonight?
A little bit.
Okay, because their bench scored 92 last game.
Yes, obviously that's going to be on the list, but we're not going to get there for 30 minutes if you keep interrupting and changing the subject.
Our bench was good. They played really well. They helped us win. They've been doing that all year.
Wow, that's well done. We were courtside, as you know, on Saturday. Max and I rarely get that opportunity anymore. And you
watching
see things,
the Patriots game.
Watching the Patriots game, so obviously I didn't get to see very much. But nevertheless, one of the moments I was aware of that I did glance over to the court briefly, there was a moment in the first half where Jason caught a pass sort of on the move, and he just drove to the basket. And you had that almost involuntary fist pump type reaction as if that's something you wanted to see more of.
Yeah, that's a run. We call those a run through it, run through the catch. Catch and go, and I think that's a great way to attack a good defender. You got a guy like Dunn. If you hold the ball, Dunn gets up into you. And I think Washington does a really good job of this, too. They have a lot of good isolation players, but they don't wait for isolation to happen. They just drive it. They reverse the ball. They get it to the other side of the floor, and they just drive it. They just make quick plays, quick decisions. And I thought Jason did a good job of that. Coming off that game against Atlanta, I knew he would be aggressive. But I thought that was the right move because, you know, Dunn is an awfully good defender if you let him get up under you.
All right, you made a reference to their bench and what they did here to Denver. 22 players played for you in your second year with the Celtics, and that obviously is a very high number. The Wizards are already at 19, and we're not even halfway through the year. Yeah. Before we get into
preparing, how many my first year?
It was 19 or 20. But number of players playing is different from the number of players you have on the roster that come through, and that's where the thing. Because in that second year, there was the Jameer Nelsons and the Tayshaun Princes that came through on their way to, as like a way station on their way to somewhere
else.
Yeah,
we've talked about that Indiana locker room before.
Yes, right. And some crazy nights. But before we get into preparing to play a team that has that kind of turnover, you have to have a unique insight into what Scott Brooks is trying to go through here, trying to create some level of consistency in a program when you literally don't know from night to night who are the 12 guys who are going to play.
I think the interesting part of it, though, is that they've got, you know, obviously Beal is a long-standing part of this. You got Wall sitting over there And, you know, he's going to be back at some point. You've got other accomplished guys in the lineup, certainly IT, you know, Mahimi. You've got different guys that have done different levels of different things. But then they've got guys that are going to be here and that they've drafted. When I first came, you know, we drafted Kelly before I got there, and then we drafted Smart that next year. But we didn't have the large number of picks maybe that we had in the following few years. And it's really interesting. That was one of the reasons why we turned over so fast. Here it's, you know, they've got a lot of young pieces that probably will be here, or, you know, they seem very invested in. And, you know, Troy Brown gave him a great lift the other day off the bench, as he does. They found a gem in Matthews with his shooting ability. And then, you know, obviously Hachimura, who's not playing today, is an excellent young player.
Only Washington, we saw Toronto. I almost got into this when had those two games in Toronto, but you were probably goofing off so much we didn't get to it in the course of the segment.
You mean the radio
it's
segment?
About, yes, the radio segment. It was about, because I made a note of it, I had to move it into the Washington game because we didn't get to talk about zone defense and its place.
They played zone at Charlotte. You could have talked about it then.
I suppose they do, but nobody, statistically, nobody is playing more of it than Washington, and it leads me to the, you know, there's in this very selective use of it in this day and age. Where does the zone fit in today's NBA?
Well, I think there's a number of reasons to use it, and we may have talked about this, but you got to get to the three-point line somehow and protect the rim. And if you can keep your big in the paint and you can have guys that can zone up and fly to the spots around the perimeter and move with the ball, then you can challenge as well as you can. Now, historically, people that zone are willing to give up a late contested shot, so that kind of goes against the conventional wisdom of zone. But I do think that as offenses and as reads that guys have worked on have become second nature, people just want to change up the reads. People just want to give you a different look, and I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, we right from the start of training camp worked on zone offense probably 10x what we have in any other year, because we thought we would see a lot more of it just based on how last year ended with the whole league. It may be a little bit skewed because, you know, Brooklyn played it so much against us, Miami played it so much against us, but we just kind of thought that that was going to be the case. And I think the other thing that gets lost in the shuffle sometimes is it's a good changeup. It's a good thing to take out, you know, a sideline out of bounds play. It's also a good way to not have your guys constantly running off screens defensively if you're in a long stretch of games. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of reasons to use it, and it doesn't have to be a 2-3. It could be a 1-2-2 or anything else, but we've seen it quite a bit.
That's the head coach, and the reason I want to get some hardcore basketball talk on.
That's hardcore basketball.
Here's why.
Talk.
Because all day on this particular radio station, and most sports radio stations, certainly around New England and probably around most of the country, there was not basketball discussion today. It was about what happened on Saturday night and the Patriots lost and what may happen next. I would think, in your line of work, you might have a unique perspective on what, and you and your family have been here for 6.5 years, whereas a lot of people listening to us have been here for the entire 20 years. And since it is my job to come up with words to describe it, and yet I don't think it will be 10, 20, 30 years from now before we fully appreciate what has just happened over the last two decades.
Well,
I
think the best way to say it, in football fans in the New England region in the last 20 years are incredibly spoiled. there is no other way to put it, and it's nobody's fault other than those guys and that coaching staff that have been playing. It's amazing what they've accomplished. And you know what? I always go back to, you know, some of the Spurs different outcomes. Yeah. I mean, they've had some times where they lost in the first round and came back and won it the next year. Like, it's just the way it goes. I mean, sometimes you run into a really good team or have a couple of tough weeks that don't go your way because the other team plays really well. But what a remarkable team, what a remarkable organization, a run. You know, selfishly, I hope it continues with everyone, but that's not our decisions to make.
That's the head coach. It is the Celtics and the Wizards. It is your decision to make whether you'll join us for that game, and we hope you will next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.